So this week is Parshas Vayakov Pikudei, the last chapters of the book of Exodus, in which the Torah describes the setting up of the tabernacle, the erection of the tabernacle, and the accounts that Moshe gave for every ounce of silver and every scrap of gold. And this Shabbos is also Parshas Purim. Four Parshas, beginning with Shkolim, and then before Purim, Parshas Zohar, Hashlashach Selucha Amalek, and this week Parshas Purim, and then the following week Parshas Chodesh. So there's a really powerful connection between Parshas Purim, the story, the halacha of the Pura Aduma, the red heifer, and this week's parsha. This week's parsha begins, Vayakel Moshe's Kaladas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe gathered all the congregation of the Jewish people, Vayoyim Aleim, and he said to them, Eil HaDvorim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asot. So these are the things, these are the words that God commanded you to do, Oysam them. So you think, he's about to talk about the Mishkan, about the tabernacle, but no. 6 days' work should be done. Seventh day has got to be holy for you. Shabbos, Shabbosayin Lashem, Kolo Oysa by Melocha Yumos. Whoever does work on Shabbos, put to death. Leisavaru Eish, Bechol Moish Veisechem, Yom Shabbos, don't make fire, and if your house is on Shabbos. Vayoyme Moishe, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, Leimor. Moshe says to the whole congregation of the Jewish people, Zeh adova shetziva Hashem leimor, this is what God commanded, saying, Chume etchem trumo, take an offering, and he enumerates Zohav chesv nechoshes, gold, silver, bronze, copper, tcheles, blue wool, purple wool, red wool, linen, and so forth. Then we find Moshe says, Vayoyme Moshe b'nei Yisroel, Ru'u, see, Koro Hashem b'shem b'tzalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mate Yehuda. God has called upon b'tzalel, Vayimale oisai ruach elikim, and he's filled him with the Spirit of God, b'chochmo, with wisdom, b'tvuno, understanding, b'das, with knowledge, b'chol melucha. So the Ishbitzer says there's a connection between these three aspects of the Seder. First, Moshe gathers everybody together, and he says, these are the things that God commanded us to do. And then he tells us about Shabbos and not doing. And then he comes to the Mishkan. So why did Moshe have to gather everybody in a way that we don't find in other places? Vayakel Moshe gathered his kol adas b'nei Yisrael, everybody. And then it says in Posuk Dalet, Vayoyme Moshe said, al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. So there's these different levels of the Kehillah, the congregation, and then there's Kol Adas, the whole congregation, and then there's a B'nai Yisrael. So the Ishbitzer says that something happened to us in this process of making the Mishkan, that everybody felt that they were inspired, and they felt that there was something divine coming through them, some gift, something really artistic. And everybody felt that after they'd done something for the Mishkan, that it was just supernatural. And everybody was sure that the work that they had done was going to be outstanding. It would be obvious to anybody looking at what they'd done. This was pure genius. And then Moshe brings everybody together to look at the final work. And guess what? Everybody's work was like that. When you looked at the final work, when the Mishkan, when the tabernacle was assembled, the genius in the individual masterpieces somehow was fluid in the sense that everything matched everything else. So even though one person might have been working on a tapestry, and another person might have been working on a carving on the table, and another person was, you know, working on a spoon, when you put them together, there was such an extraordinary sense of oneness in the artistic genius that everybody became aware that there was a higher oneness that was greater than the individual genius that had gone into each component. And so the Meshlach, the Ishbitzer, gives an example of the the story of King Ptolemy of Egypt, when he assembled 72 elders, Jewish elders, and he put them each into separate cells. And he said, he told them all to translate the Torah into Greek. And each of them set about conscientiously to do that. And everybody, thinking on their own, because they weren't allowed to, you know, consult with one another, they made certain changes. For instance, I mean, the very first phrase in the Torah, Bereshis Boro Elohim, which could have been translated as "in the beginning created God." And so everybody thought to themselves, nah, I'm not going to do that, because that lays the whole religion open to question. Let's translate it, "in the beginning God created." Well, that's not what it says in the Hebrew. And everybody thought, that was pure genius. And so forth. There were many changes that, or there were many, maybe not changes, but linguistic emendations that had been made in order to translate it into Greek. And then they came together and they compared, and everybody said, "Well, I made exactly the same emendation that somebody else made. How could that have been? I felt that the divine spirit was flowing through me. This must mean that there was a higher power, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, was in charge of my production. My genius was flowing because God had a purpose." And incidentally, it says something about the Septuagint that everybody who was working on it had this Ruach HaKadosh. It tells us something about the authenticity of the text. But it's mind-blowing to the people who actually did the translation that they felt they were being so creative, and they felt that they were, as individuals, they were expressing something really pure in themselves, and then they come through on the other side and they find that that same feeling has been felt en masse. Everybody felt that. So the same thing Moshe Rabbeinu wants when we come together to look at the Mishkan. Everybody's expecting, like Moshe says, Yankel says to his wife, "Today, when they put everything together and you're going to see what I did, Mama, you're going to say to yourself, Yankel, wow, that's gewalt, you know?" So everybody's like looking, everybody's pointing, everybody's sort of have their eye on when their particular component comes up to be viewed, where everybody's going to go and say, look at that. But it was a much bigger because everybody could see that they were part of something unique, that the whole thing was unique. In fact, in this week's Sedra, we have the secret of art. There's an unbelievable Torah from the Chayz of Lublin. Chayz of Lublin, the Torah tells us just before Moshe says, "Re'u, Korah Hashem b'shem Bitzala," look how God is called Bitzala by name. The Torah tells us, V'chol isha chachmas lev, and every woman chachmas lev, wise of heart, beyodeho, with her hands, tovu, they spun, and vayaviu matve, and they brought spun blue wool and spun purple wool and spun red wool and the spun linen to Moshe. So the Hedig of Lublina says, well, how else would they have spun it if it wasn't with their hands? What's the Torah telling us? V'chol isho chachmas lev biyodeho tov. Every woman wise of heart, with her hands, she spun. What else would you spin with? So he says like this, the Hedig of Lublina says like this. Everybody knows, you hear with your ears, and you see with your eyes, and you feel with your fingers, and that's the way nature made the human body, that each part of the human body has its own function, which is distinct from the other part. And, you know, you can't make your eyes listen. He says, but that's not really so. He says, when you get past the chumrius, when you get past the gashmius, when the human body is no longer self-centered and it becomes transparent, it becomes mavura, then things change. You can't say that the eyes see, but the ears don't see. The ears see just as much as the eyes see, and the eyes, they listen. The eyes, they listen. Everything is bechina of tsuro. You've gone past the individual distinctions and the compartmentalizing that we think of in our body and in our brain. And the truth is, you know, if we look at the part of the ear that listens, more than half of the nerves are actually going from the brain to the ear, not from the ear to the brain, to tell the ear how to listen. And the same is with seeing. It's not like the sound comes in the ear and it goes to that part of the brain that understands sound. That is not how. It's the brain which is sending most of the signals to the ear. So he says, the hands can see, your hands can see just as much as your eyes can see. What does it depend on? So he says, V'chol ishu chachmas lev biyodeho. Every woman who had chachmas lev in her hands. Not every woman who had chachmas lev, then with her hands she spun. No. Kol ishu chachmas lev biyodeho. That the women had chachmas lev in their hands, and they were the ones who did the spinning. How can you have chachmas lev in your hands? What does it mean to have chachmas lev in your hands? But they're the ones who did the spinning, and this is the secret of art. That the hands are not just spinning. What does it mean, chachma? The Torah is noveles chachma ilo. The Torah is an unripe version of chachma. Because chachma doesn't have levushim. The chachma doesn't have clothing. As we were learning last week, that when there's a revelation of Chochma, so when there's a hisnoitzitzus of the Torah Shebal Peh, when the unwritten Torah is sparking and wants to come out into the world, then there's a revelation of naked Chochma. Wherever the Chochma is trying to come into the world, there's an unclothing. And so Achashverosh, you know, tells his wife to take her clothes off. And the Chachamim You know, the Baal Shem Tov is saying, Aruma, Aruma, v'hi'od le'bo'o, that there's this promise of nakedness. Because what it really means is that Chochma is transparent. Chochma goes all the way through. There's no gashmius in Chochma. There's no body. There's nothing in Chochma that needs clothing. We, because we get stuck in our body and we get stuck in our ego and we get stuck in our, who was it who said, you don't see the world how it is, you see the world how you are. If we could really see the world how it is, then we go beyond the gashmias and we go beyond the compartmentalizing. And so, what am I trying to say? What is art? How does the artisan differ from the artist? An artisan, he has his tools, and you know, he makes a table according to the rules that he learned in the guild of carpenters and cabinet makers and wood sculptors. He makes the table according to those rules, and he makes it perfectly. It's not art. Why does the artisan not get to the same madriga as the artist? Because the artist is going beyond the table. He's not making a table. The table is just a medium by which he's expressing something that of the Chochma Iloh. He's expressing something of that wisdom which is higher than the Torah. What is that wisdom which is higher than the Torah? That is the pure Chochma. That is the we talk about the spheres, right? Keser, which we don't understand anything about. But the first sphere is Chochma, right? Chochma doesn't have a shape. Chochma doesn't have Heeder. It doesn't have any kind of a constriction or restriction. Everything that has a shape or a constriction or some kind of a number or anything, it all begins with Bina. Chochma is Chayim Mevurorim, the pure life force, which we were learning Sefer Yetzirah. We talked about the pure life force as being the expression, the projection of the God of Rabbeinu Shel Olam, saying, I want to go from Ein, I want to become Ani. Chalila to say that Rabbeinu Shel Olam goes through change, but Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to be Ani, I want to be Anochi, I want to go from Ein. I want you. Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, I want to say you. To say you, I have to say Ani. I have to go from being Ein to becoming Ani so that I can say you. You're listening to this. We receive everything that is in the world. It's all because Rabbeinu Shel Olam is saying you. That's what Chochma is, that expression of God saying Ani Vato. So when I become an artist and I go beyond the plasticity, I go beyond the material that I have, and of course I'm skilled. That goes without saying, but the skill is just a motor skill. It's is garnished. That's not what art is, because then it's an artisan. Art is when the Shefach Chaim, the Chochma, the Ruach Chochma, starts to come through. And we said 100 times, said 1,000 times, what is the meaning of come through? It means re'ei. It means look. You look at an artist, you look A, at the artist, and you look B, at the work of art. In both of them, you see the divine. So, the meaning of art, and the reason that art lasts forever, and beauty is truth, and truth is beauty, that's all you need to know, and all the things that people, people who know nothing, understand and appreciate and are touched by art. What is it? Because it's transparent. It's mavura. It's chachma mavureris. So the person looking at it doesn't even have a clue what's the mavura, because looking with fleischige Augen, if a person looks with eine seichel, with the eyes of the seichel, then you look at the work of art and you see the divine, you see the human coming through, shining through, blazing through. Whether you're looking at the person creating the art or the way you look at the creation once the artist has gone away, doesn't matter. So, v'chol isha chachmas lev biyodeho. Every woman who has chachmas lev in her hands. That is the meaning of art. Chachmas lev in the hands. Unbelievable insight. Chachmas lev biyodeho. So, we can't even understand when we're looking at the Mishkan. We can't even understand. We say to Moshe, what is going on here? So Moshe says, if you yourself, at the moment that you're having your artistic expression, if you yourself, instead of looking at the art and instead of looking at the artist, if you look inside and you see the Chachmas Lev, you look inside yourself and you realize that what you're expressing, you feel, or like you see, you understand, or you hear. What difference does it make what word we use? It's all one, as the Lublina says. You realize I'm expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Ein Nevim Misnabim B'Signon Echad, right? Shlomi used to say so often, again and again, 100 times, that the whole point about being a Yid is that I understand that nothing is ever the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never repeats himself. And so everybody and everything is different. I remember Shlomi saying, you know, in a certain way, I have something that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have. In a certain way, I have a gift that David HaMelech doesn't have. And it's true. Each one of us has a gift that nobody else has. That's that expression of the divine Chochmah, which each of us has, which is our art. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to everybody, this is what I want you to see. This is why Vayakhel, he brings everybody together. And then it's Kol Adas, and then it's Bnei Yisrael. It's like the Ishbitzi says, this happens with a greater rash. It's like a big noise Moshe Rabbeinu makes. He says, you have to step outside the way you normally think in order to have your eyes opened to what's happening here. Everybody here, I think it was a famous English artist like Baskerville, who said, everybody is an artist. Artists are just more self-conscious about it. Every life is an art. Every life is a divine expression. So we're all artists because we're all unique. The person that we call the artist is just more self-conscious about that fact. And so they go about creating as an act of will or as a decision. Right? But the truth is that every human being, everything expresses the Chochma Illo'o, which is Chai Mevurorim, which is pure life, which doesn't have any herde, which doesn't have any boundaries, doesn't have any withholding. And that's what the meaning of Por Aduma is as well. V'yikcho elecho Por Aduma t'mimo, asher lo olo elecho oil. How many times we learned the Ishbitza Torah, what does it mean? It means Chochma Mevureres. What's the meaning of Misa? What is death? And why is the story of the Por Aduma, the red heifer. Why are we told the whole parasha of the red heifer before we're even told about Zois HaTorah Odom Ki Yomis Bo'ehel? This is the law of a man who dies in the tent, that the tent becomes tummy, and everything in the tent becomes tummy. Whoever touches the dead body becomes tummy. This only comes later. First, we said Zois Chukas HaTorah, the Por Aduma. How come we get the Por Aduma, the whole clarification or the rectification, the purification, before we get even told about the death? Right? What is death? The Ishbitzer says. The Posik says, Asher, Beyodoi Nefesh Kol Chai, V'ruach Kol Besar Ish. The Posik says, in God's hand is the Nefesh Kol Chai, V'ruach Kol Besar Ish. So when is a person in the hand of God? When he's alive. When is a person in the oitzer, in the treasury? When he's dead. So how could, by God, how could there be a difference between a live person and a dead person when we're expressions of God? I mean, by a human being, you could have something in your hand because you use it all the time. And then things that you don't use are put away in the treasury. But by God, how could that, what's the meaning of that? So he says, this, the whole posik, Asher b'yod nefesh kol chai, is we are living. This is how we live. We think that that which is alive is different from that which is dead. And the reason we're stuck in this thing is because of our way of experiencing ourselves in the physical body and the way that the brain has of understanding what happens when things begin and when things end. And so nobody davens for a dead person. Nobody prays for a dead person. A dead is finished. But the truth is, it's no more finished. It's not finished. What is the Efer Pora? What are these ashes? You take a cow and you burn it until it's ashes. It's reduced. No, it's not like charcoal. It's clinker. It's like little bits of iron and elements. It's not like a fine powder. Burn a body, you get the minerals from which it's made. I mean, it's basically like it's stardust. It's the atoms from which things are made. They don't grow, and yet they grow. I mean, the Zohar says, what's the difference between off of A for dust and ashes? Dust, you can plant things in dust, add a little water, and they'll grow. And you know, in ashes. However, the truth is that ashes will grow just as dust will grow, because the truth is that ashes are no more dead then the cow is alive. Our perception of what is dead and what is alive is just the way that we tell ourselves the world is. But it's not so. What is it that prevents us seeing the mountains, the rocks as alive, the water as alive? Take a piece of salt on a spoon and be able to see the life in that piece of salt, in that grain. What is it? Because we're looking at it with our eyes. If we could look at it with Chochmim of Ureres, if we could look at it as it really is, it's all alive. Everything is alive. But in order to do that, it has to be Ru'u. It has to be, you have to look. And to be able to look like that is Ru'u Kor Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri. You see, Bezalel was the one artist that when he was working, he could feel God working through him and his hands and his mind and his eyes and his ears. Everything Bezalel did from beginning to end, he never felt, "Aye, this is me. Psst, this is Gewalt. Woo, that wasn't that a nice piece. Look at what I'm No, he never thought that way. All the time when Bezalel was working, it was Bezalel Kael. All the time, what is the shadow, right? The Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yiminecha, the Baal Shem Tov used to say, what does it mean God is your shadow on your right hand? You have to be careful what you do, because whatever you do, God is doing, because he's your shadow. Whatever you do, your shadow does. Bezalel is just the opposite. Bezalel doesn't experience himself in his creativity as an individual. Everything that he does, he experiences it coming out from the inside. I'm the shadow, says Bezalel. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm kukuf bifnei Adam. I'm like a monkey copying a human being. That's how I am. This is not my chiddush at all. And so much so was Bezalel able to experience his artistic genius as the expression of the divine. This was his nevuah. As it says in the posik, Ru'u koro Hashem b'shem Bezalel, look. And Moshe is inviting us all to look, because we have Bezalel inside us, just as we have Moshe inside us. If you really look, you can hear Bezalel being called by God. If that's not an expression of nevuah, what is an expression of nevuah? It's a prophecy. Everything Bezalel makes is a prophecy. And what does he make? He makes the Aron HaKodesh. And the only piece of the Beis HaMikdash that is called by the name of its creator is the Aron HaKodesh that Bezalel makes. So, in order to understand what the Pora Aduma, what the red heifer, and how the red heifer answers the question, because what do I feel is dead? I feel what is dead is what I did without any chachma whatsoever. Everything that I did with thought, I can follow it through. But those things that I did without thinking, those seem dead to me. Those things that I did when I feel like I was really not paying attention to myself, I wasn't paying attention to the other, I wasn't paying attention to God, I was acting. And those are the things, what do I regret, right? And those are the mistakes that I've made that I think to myself, I can't fix, I don't know how to fix. The Pora Aduma doesn't come to fix. The Pora Aduma comes to show me that there is no such thing. There is no such thing as an act that I did unthinking. Because my life is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Divine. So everything that I did is an expression of Chochmah. And there is no death, there is no Misa, there is no head, there is no withholding. There is nothing dark in Chochmah. So we get told about death after we get told about the Pora Aduma, because the truth is, there is no such thing as death. The fact that we're living in this world, that it feels like it, is because we don't really want to step outside for one reason or another. But you can't be a person of faith. You can't have any emunah whatsoever unless you're ready to step outside. And so the ultimate mitzvah of emunah, which is also laharher, we're not even allowed to ask ourselves why it is and how it is and should it be like this, is the mitzvah of Pora Aduma, which all the nations of the world laugh at us. And our mitzvah of Pora Aduma is that faith that all life, everything in the universe, is an expression of the one life, the Chaim of Urore. And of course, that's the Chochma Elo'ah. And there is no Chochma Tato'ah. There is only Chochma Elo'ah. And so there is no death. And there is no shtus. There is nothing that any Yid that ever did was stupid. Because every Yid is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Yid, the life of every Yid, is pure art. Is a work of art. and it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so, yeah, afterwards we get told that there is such a thing as death and it's tum and this, but first we get told what the real deal is. The real deal is v'yikhu eilecho. They should take to that emotion, which is the chachma of every yid. Stop. And take to the chachma inside you, that pora aduma, tmimo, that red, pure, alive thing, which has never been touched by death and cannot be touched by death and has never been touched by shtus, has never been touched by anything stupid or silly, because inside us, we are awake. Inside us, we are conscious. Inside us, we are aware, and nothing is done without that life force, which is the pure awareness, which is the pure chachma. Bless you and me, we should wake up to our awareness and wake up to our life and wake up to the art of who we are and be able to experience those noshim, that woman part of me, which is chachmas lev, which sees and hears and tastes with fingers.